What a great day. What a great day. These last two songs were worth the whole service. Matthew 28, the victor's crown. We are what we are because of what he did. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Again, I want to thank you for being in attendance. The subject that I have chosen is something that I could no doubt give several Bible studies on. So I'm going to be giving you scriptures that I won't have enough time to read. However, if you have a pen and paper, write some of these down and take a look at them. I go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and I want to read verse 1 through verse 6. And this has to do with the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6. John is writing about the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, the book of Revelation is a book, and it's called Revelation because it is the revealing of all other Bible prophecy that has been written. The thing about it is, in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah, the book of even the Psalms, there's a lot of prophecy in there. And when John writes, this book is called Revelation because it is the revealing of Bible prophecy. Now, my interpretation of how the book of Revelation is laid out is that it is pretty much in chronological order. There are some things that make reference to things before and some that make reference to things after, but for the most part, it's in chronological order. Now, when I read this passage of Scripture, you're going to wonder, how can this be in chronological order? Now, I'll not be able to give you all the Scriptures that I'd like to give you today because of time. I'm sure you have a ham and in the oven or something. I know it at the Grand household, we have a ham and a bean casserole that my wife is making, and it's all in the oven. Marvin has a big ham in the oven for us. So Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little while, or a little season. I saw the thrones. They sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. God bless you. May be seated. Now this, let me just give you a little timeline. I wish I had enough time to give you scripture for all this. You know, Pastor Grant's preaching and teaching is all the same. The only difference is that when you consider I preach, I just get a little louder and a little faster. But as far as preparing, I always prepare the same. We go back to the death of Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have what we call the church age. The church had its birth on the day of Pentecost. And this is the age that we live in. So if you need to be saved, each dispensation of the Bible, when people were saved, they were always saved according to the law given to mankind for that dispensation. So anything prior to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was technically under the age of the law. So the thief on the cross that was offered to, when he asked for forgiveness, he was offered eternal life. Please keep in mind, he did not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as well as we do, simply because he was on the other side of the cross. But since the cross, the new birth became the means by which we enter into the kingdom of God. We repent. We're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, John had foretold of this in his gospel. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about this. And, of course, in John's gospel, he said the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, since Jesus Christ arose from the grave and since the day of Pentecost, there's been over 2,000 years now, or near 2,000 years. We're not really for sure. Now, we know that when John speaks, this is the first resurrection, and he speaks after the 1,000 years of peace. So let's just, after this dispensation ends, there will be the tribulation period, which is kind of an overlapping of dispensations. We have an overlapping of law and grace also with the ministry of John the Baptist. So you have an overlapping of the grace dispensation. And after the tribulation period, the tribulation will end with a great battle, and that will be the Battle of Armageddon. Now, during the time of the tribulation period, the Antichrist, walking on the face of the earth, will set up an earthly reign, and he will require that people take a mark denying Christ either in the hand or their forehead. And if they don't, they can't buy nor sell, so there won't be anything that you could purchase to eat. And many people will be beheaded. Now, during this time, the Lord will seal 144,000 Jewish people that they won't see death. Now, the Bible says that they're hid in the wilderness. Now, I'm not really for sure where they will hide. It's my feeling it'll probably be here in the United States of America. And the reason why is because we are the melting pot, so to speak, of all nations. So among us, there are probably several Jewish people. Now, if you look around, you wouldn't recognize them. Now, if they were in certain countries, you would recognize them. But because we have such a blend here, for the most part, you would not recognize them. But he seals 144,000 of those. At the end of the tribulation period is the Battle of Armageddon, and then that's when Christ comes back with his saints. And he sets up an earthly kingdom and rules from Jerusalem. Now, during this time, it'll be perfect peace in the earth for 1,000 years. The devil would be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. Now, that's what we were reading about. However, at the end of this period, just before it closes, The Bible says that Satan is brought out of the bottomless pit and he goes forth among the nations to deceive people. Now, during this time, there'll be no war, absolutely no war at all. People take all the implements of war and turn them into agricultural implements. That's what the Bible says. It'll be peace. All of the nations will be connected like they were when the earth was young. In other words, you could get in your car. I mean, I'm saying we have cars then, but you could travel from Madison to Jerusalem because the nations will be reconnected. Now, at the end of this period, as Satan deceives the nations, and you would think that people who live long lives, and the Bible says they will live long lives, people who live as long as they did when God made Adam and Eve up until Noah's time, 950 years for Noah, you'd think people who lived, let's say, 1,000 years, that Satan wouldn't deceive them. But he does. And then the very last battle fought on the planet Earth that's recorded in Scripture is the battle of Gog and Magog. Now, after that, then we find that the Bible speaks to us about the first resurrection. Now, that does not mean that a resurrection does not occur before this time. If you read in 1 Thessalonians 4, which I'm not going to take the time to read this because of the time element this morning, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if this is the only time that there was a resurrection, then that simply means a rapture of the church would have to take place after the first resurrection that's spoken of in Revelation 20. Because in 1 Thessalonians, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, it's my feeling that the Bible speaks of the first resurrection. In Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 14, the Bible speaks of the resurrection of the just. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, if you turn to John 5 and look at verse 28 through 29, you will find Jesus is speaking. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice. Now, verse 29, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there will be a resurrection of the just, and then there's a resurrection of for damnation. Now, that simply means then that there are two types of resurrection. One is the resurrection of life. The other is the resurrection of damnation. So, what the scripture is telling us, that the first resurrection doesn't mean the first time that people come forth from the grave, but it means the first means for the primary purpose of eternal life. So we have the resurrection of the just, that's for the primary purpose of eternal life, and then we have the resurrection of all the dead, the remaining dead that are coming forth. So when John starts writing the book of Revelation, when he introduces Jesus Christ, he says, and behold, every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. So when we die now, we go to the grave. Our bodies wait to be resurrected. Now, how God can figure out where all those pieces are, I don't know. Some are buried at sea, some are burned, some are lost, but God puts them all back together. But he not only puts them all back together for those who are living for him, there will be a day also in which he will put every body back together. And the soul and the spirit will come back and inhabit that body. Now, I think that the church is raptured in Revelation 4. And my reason, one reason, there's plenty of reasons, but my primary reason is that the book of Revelation from the fourth chapter on never speaks of the church on the planet Earth at all. Doesn't speak of that at all. Now, in Revelation 4, and I'll just go back there and read part of this. Now, for whoever's in the sound booth, Sister Millen, I think. I'm not following my notes, as you can see. Okay, Revelation 4. See, John gives the seven letters to the churches of Asia, and those seven letters are indicative of seven different church ages or periods of time. And after that, the Bible says that there was a door opened in the heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set up. Now, when you read Revelation 4 and 5, it talks about the throne set up, the 20 and 4 elders representing the nation of Israel, and also the New Testament church, are the 12 apostles. So the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles making up the body of Christ there in heaven. And when John was called up, his voice sounded like the voice of a trumpet. And this is what that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, when he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of a trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And those that are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So basically, this is what happens. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 and 23. Now, something else happened when Jesus Christ came out of his grave. But not until after he came out of his grave. Old Testament saints, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 52 and 53, that Old Testament saints arose and they walked in the streets of Jerusalem and testified to the people. So you see there, Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. Now we have another resurrection that occurs after he is resurrected. This is the reason why that Old Testament saints are now in heaven. And they are there, and we will join them later. You think that Joseph knew. See, when Joseph lived in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, he died then. You have to understand that there was no Bible up until the day of Moses. Now, how God spoke to man, we're not really for sure, but we know that he did speak to man. And so when Joseph died, this is what he told his people. He said, now God's going to restore us, going to take us back. Now, when he takes us back, I want you to dig up my bones, and I want you to take them back to Jerusalem. Now, I have this feeling that this man probably knew that there would be a resurrection, and he was going to walk the streets of Jerusalem, a restored man, and witness to the people. So take my bones with you when I go back. Now, we know then that there's more than one resurrection. But when we say the first resurrection, it simply means all resurrections that deal with the primary purpose of eternal life. So I think the church is raptured in Revelation 4. And then, because the Bible says we will reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years, that simply means the 1,000 years, a peace, we're going to reign on the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that seems like a long time from now. Most of us just think that, well, the end of the world is just like tomorrow. No, it isn't. You got a whole 1,000 years in which we will reign and rule with the Lord. You know, all of you who live here in Madison, we may be living here in Madison. How do you know? Probably won't have the snow. But I suppose if you have a glorified body, that doesn't bother you much. You know. But see, this is what takes place. And then after the 1,000 years of peace, Satan is going to come forth and he's going to deceive the nations. The 144,000 replenish the earth. And the thing that I find so interesting is, you know, why would God give a man a choice after he had been living for God without a choice for a 1,000 years? But one of the great things about the character of God is this, that he's always given all of his creatures the power of choice. The angels made a decision before time began as to whether or not they wanted to serve God. Lucifer was an archangel and took 1/3 of all the angels with him. He chose not to. And in each dispensation, down through this dispensation, every person that serves God because he makes a choice to do so. And then when the 1,000 years are almost up, God says, now, nobody's going to walk on streets of gold until they're given a choice. So far, these people have not had a choice. I'm going to give them the power to choose whether they want to live like this and live peacefully in heaven, or they want to go with Lucifer. Unfortunately, many of them didn't. So there are several raptures or resurrections that take place. But those raptures that take place that have to do with eternal life, this is called the first resurrection. But then there is a resurrection for damnation. See, Jesus said, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So if you go dig up the grave of a sinner, you'll just find a decayed, corruptive body. But there will be a time in which their spirit and their soul will also come back to inhabit their bodies. Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there is a resurrection also for people who are not saved. So when you stand before God at the white throne judgment, and you will, if you do not accept the Bible plan for salvation, you will stand before God at the white throne judgment. Now, the saints of God will be around the throne because they also are there making judgment upon the world. So, here, you will stand with your own eyes, just like you have, like they are today. Now, you won't be changed as the saints are changed from corruption to incorruption, but as a mortal man, with all the problems that man has, you'll stand there in the presence of God to be judged. Now, you may say, well, you talk about 1,000 years, a long time. Well, wait just a minute. You don't know that. The people that die every day. Some live to be quite old, and some not so old. Our dear brother Manley celebrated his 99th birthday yesterday. At our district conference, Brother Putnam had his mother with him. He is now in Panama with Brother Blake George. They're preaching the general conference down there. I got a call from Sister Putnam. Brother Putnam's mother passed away. So this next Thursday, we'll be having her funeral. And I think she was about the age of my mother, 85 or 86. So I will be preaching the funeral there in Monroe. Just pray for Brother Putnam. I know that must be hard on him being out of the country when this happened. You know, I'd like for you to stand with me at this time. I just feel that you know, Jesus Christ made it all possible. And the thing about it is, all I have to do is just be born again. So what the Scripture teaches, if you're born once, that is born of the flesh, but not of the Spirit, then you will, if you're born once, and that's it, then you'll have to die twice. You will die a natural death, and then, according to Revelation 21:8, you'll be cast into hell. This is the second death. So you're born once, and you die twice. Or you can be born twice. That is, of your mother, of the flesh, and then born of the Spirit, and you only die once. And that's of the flesh. And you will live forever. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Oh, what a promise. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. I want to give you an opportunity to come and seek the Lord. You know, if you've never given your heart to God, you just need to reach out to God in repentance today. Come and stand over here on your right. Just come on down right now. I know with an audience this big, there's got to be a lot of people that really need to give their heart to God.